1 Samuel chapter 3, as we turn here to this familiar story of the calling of Samuel, I wonder if any of you heard from God this week. Anybody hear the voice of God this week? Anybody want to hear from God this week? I mean, sometimes maybe we don't want to hear from God, you know? I heard this story of a painter who was hired to paint a church. But he had this practice, unbeknownst to the church that had hired him, he had this practice of thinning his paint with water so that it would go further and he would make more of a profit. So as he was painting this church and he was about done, all of a sudden this torrential downpour came and washed all of the paint off of the church. And so he just kind of was shaking his head and looked up to the heavens, and then he heard this voice, "Repaint! And go and thin no more." All right, I know that was pretty bad, but I just had to do it. I mean, we want to hear from God, though, right? I mean, I think, as I think over the last, 15, 17 years that I've been in ministry, frequently I have these conversations with people where they say, you know, I just want a sign from God, or I just want to hear from God. Why doesn't God just speak out loud to me? I mean, we've all been there, right? These times where we've got a decision that we're facing or we don't know what direction to go in life, and we just want God to make it clear. We want to hear from God, right? Well, as we look at this story this morning, I think one of the things that I want us to take away from this as we look at this, as I said, very familiar story, probably to most of us, I think we see here with Samuel and Eli, maybe just a few suggestions, I suppose, as to what it might take for us to hear more frequently and more clearly from God. I think we can see here that if we want to hear from God, we have to make sure that we're in the right place with the right people and with the right attitude. You know, you think about being in the right place. You look at how this story begins, and let's just read through it. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called to Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. As you think about being in the right place to hear from God, we see this story begins with this contrast between Samuel and Eli. Certainly, we don't know all of the circumstances, but we're told that Eli was lying there in verse 2. He was lying down in his own place. But Samuel was lying down where? In the temple. Now, of course, in Old Testament times, the temple was the place of God, right? The temple was constructed, and we don't exactly know precisely where Samuel was, but we can discern fairly clearly here because of the reference to the Ark of God. You know, the temple in those days was constructed of essentially three parts. There was the outer courts where the people were. There was the inner court where the priests ministered before God. And then there was the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelt and where the ark was. And so we know most likely that Samuel was probably in the inner court where the priests ministered, close to the presence of God. Certainly you would at least think that it's more likely that Samuel would hear the voice of God than Eli would. Eli lying in his own place, Samuel in the presence of God. Right? Now, fast forward to us. Of course, we're in New Testament days. The temple is no more. So what does this mean for us? You know, we're taught that God is everywhere. God dwells in us by his Spirit. So why is it that we think we have to be somewhere specifically where God is? What's the presence? What's the location have to do with it? Well, without in any way, I think, being exhaustive, I just want to kind of draw two maybe suggestions that you might consider about where you are and how that relates to how well you hear from God. I guess two questions. Consider this, first of all. How committed are you to being in church on a regular basis? Now, presenting that question, I'm a little bit hesitant because, as I'm sure many of you have, I've been many times in church where I've been guilted into being in church, right? That is not what this is, okay? Don't take it that way. I want you to take it in this context that we're talking about. As I said, I think we all want to hear from God. How do we hear from God? Well, understand that God speaks how? Primarily through his word. We see it at the conclusion of this passage, down in verse 21. The Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. How? By the word of the Lord. So God speaks, we know, primarily these days through his word. Now, certainly we can all, and we encourage you to spend time in the word on your own, on a daily, regular basis, right? And that's good. And that, I believe, will help you hear from God. But think about this. If we're talking about the Word, you've heard me say, I hope, you've heard me say, that church, where we are right now, is the place where we should be praying God's Word. We should be saying God's Word as we read through Scripture. We, of course, you've heard me talk about it many times. We want to sing God's word as we worship. Certainly, I want to preach God's word. And in the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and communion, we are to see God's word. The point being that church on a weekly basis is kind of like God's word on steroids. Because we should fill this place with God's word through all of the things that we do. And that being the case, if God speaks primarily through his word, and you get this extra dose of God's word in this place, well, if you want to hear from God, it only makes sense that you should be committed to be here, right? That is primarily why you should want to be here, to hear from God. I can't tell you the number of times, it's always interesting to me to hear people maybe the week after I've preached the message, or sometimes years after I've preached the message. And they'll come up and say, well, you know, you said just what I needed to hear. You were speaking right to me, and then they'll tell me what I said, and I don't remember saying that at all. But that's all right. It was God's word speaking to them. It wasn't me. It was the word of God speaking. You know, we hear church leaders these days lament over and over, this has been happening for the last several years, the fact that people are just less committed to church these days. It used to be about 50 years ago that the average churchgoer was in church 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. Now, it's less than 2 Sundays a month for the average churchgoer. And I think that, back to this point about God's word, rather than lament that, and rather than, as I said, this isn't to guilt you into being here, rather than try to guilt people into being here, maybe we should take some responsibility ourselves as leaders of the church. You know, maybe we're spending too much time trying to attract people, or trying to entertain people, or maybe even trying to employ people to get them to do church, when what we should be doing instead is simply focusing on the Word. Because I believe if we focus on the Word, and if we, as hopefully I'm doing this morning, convince people that this is where they will hear from God, that they'll be more likely to want to be here on a regular basis. So if you want to hear from God, you have to be committed to being exposed to His Word on a regular basis. Now, here's the second thing to consider about where you are. How often are you quiet enough to hear from God? Because I suppose, in a sense, we would say the frustrating thing about God is that He doesn't yell at us. You know? I think of, how many of you, I don't know if any of you have seen this, it's in its second season now, this series on, I think it's on Netflix, Last Chance You, it's called. It's a documentary that follows this junior college football team through their season. They're a junior college powerhouse. They've won the junior college national championship a couple of times. And so they have these cameras that just follow the team through their games, through their practices, through, you know, trying to get these young men, because most of them are at the junior college level because they've failed academically. And so they focus on how they're trying to get these students engaged academically. But of course, one of the things that, you know, it's about a football team. So you inevitably end up focusing on the head coach. And as is so often the case, there's this great character of a head coach. Buddy Stevens is his name, this great big guy. And he likes to yell. And he likes to use colorful language. And they don't hesitate to show that. And you can just see it. Oh, especially, I watched the first season all the way through. And you could just see, as the season progressed, as Buddy would yell constantly at these young men, you just kind of saw it over time, and they documented it very well, how over time, these guys gradually stopped listening to him. They just gradually started to tune him out. Because you can only take yelling for so long, right? Maybe that's why it is that God doesn't yell at us. He does what? He whispers, right? Remember the encounter with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. He said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" God whispered to Elijah. He wasn't in the earthquake and the fire and the storm. He wasn't in all of the noise. He wasn't in the neon signs, where we so often say that we want to see God, "Just give me a sign, God." God most often whispers to us. And in order to hear a whisper, you have to be pretty quiet, right? But we live in this just sense of busyness all of the time, a sense of noise that just surrounds us and moves through the world with us. I've got this condition now. I don't exactly know where it came from, but as I understand, it's probably going to be with me for the rest of my life, ringing in the ears. And the thing about ringing in the ears is that if there's surrounding noise, you really don't notice it. It doesn't bother you. It's only when you get really still and there's no other sound that you can tell this ringing in the ears. So you know what? It doesn't bother me that much because it's always noisy. There's always sound around. I rarely notice that I've got this ringing in my ears, you know? But we have to, that's been kind of a reminder for me the last several months as I've dealt with this. I need to hear that ringing because that means it's quiet. And that's where God's going to speak to me. How often do you simply set the computer aside, turn the TV off, get in a place by yourself, and just wait for God? He's not going to yell at you. He's not going to give you a neon sign. But he just may whisper to you in that quiet place if you'll wait on him. So how often do you get quiet enough to hear from God? Now, in addition to being in the right place to hear from God, we have to be around the right people. This is kind of an interesting part of the story as you look at the dynamic between Eli and Samuel. Now, here's Eli, and we're told of Eli that he had these two sons. And in fact, we've seen it now twice where there's this prophecy that's come to him that says, Eli, your line, your family line as prophets is going to end because you didn't take care of your sons. And yet we're also told that Eli had responsibility for this young man Samuel from a very early age. Probably, as we said last week, maybe even from the age of 3, Samuel was placed in the care of Eli. And look at how Samuel turned out. He was one of the great prophets, one of the last judges before the kings, a great leader of the nation of Israel. And he was brought up by Eli. See, it wasn't all bad with Eli, right? That's a reminder to me, just one thing. I remember several years ago in a men's group, I had a dad come up to me and say, hey, wonder if you could make some time to spend with my son. I'm having a little difficulty with him, and maybe you can sit down and talk to him. He's not hearing from me because he's got this dad filter on. Have any of you parents kind of experienced that, where your children have this parent filter, you know, the mom filter, the dad filter? They don't hear what you're saying. But they might hear it from someone else. You know, we've talked about this here. That's one of the reasons that we want to make sure that we've got our kids, our young people, engaged here, and that they're making connections, they're having relationships with other adults in our community. I think, you know, it's no surprise that statistics show us now that the one indicator of children who will stay in the church is this idea of having relationships with other adults in the church. Young people who establish these lasting, significant relationships with other adults in the church end up staying in the church at a much higher frequency than children who don't have relationships with other adults. Just a reminder to us of the importance for all of us of being engaged with these kids who are part of our body. Just like Eli was engaged with Samuel, even though Samuel wasn't his son. But let's kind of turn it around then. What about you? Who is it that you are in relationship with that can speak to you, that can help you discern God speaking to you? Because we all need those kind of people in our lives, right? And they're for all of his faults, there was something about Eli that helped Samuel. You know, Samuel kept coming back to Eli and saying, I hear this voice. Is it you, Eli? And Eli, the first two times, says, no, it's not me. But Eli was connected enough, at least, with God to think, maybe this is God's voice, Samuel. Maybe the next time you hear it, you need to listen, because it's God. He pointed him to God. You see, when we have relationships with the right people, they will point us, they will help us hear the voice of God when we can't hear it, or we can't discern that it's the voice of God on our own. Now, just a couple of things to consider in terms of identifying those who might be good to turn to help you. Consider these things about an individual that you've turned to. First of all, do they display fruit in their lives? You know, Eli, as we've said again, for all of his faults, he did minister faithfully. He was a priest, and we're not told he didn't do a good job with his sons, but he was a faithful priest. There was some fruit in his life. You also need to look for someone who has what I call a Philippians 4:8 outlook. Do you know what I mean by that? Anybody familiar with Philippians 4:8? You should be. Philippians 4:8, I try sometimes to quote this by memory, and I always miss one of these. There are eight characteristics in Philippians 4:8 that Paul points us to. And what he says here is, see, this is about mindset. Our minds are so important to how we view, how we experience life. If I think the right things, my experience is going to be more positive than if I think the wrong things. And so Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. In other words, don't look to Eeyore to help you discern the voice of God. Do you know what I mean? There are those people who have such negative attitudes, such negative outlooks on life. They're probably not going to be real helpful in helping you to discern the voice of God. Look for those, and they are unfortunately admittedly rare, those people who have this very positive outlook on life, who see everything, you know, who see the glass half full rather than half empty all the time. Who, you know, even like Eli here, this is a great example of him. Samuel gives him this very negative prophecy, and what does he say? Verse 18, Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him, and Eli said, it's the Lord. Let him do what seems good. That's the kind of person you're looking for, right? Even when things are horrible, this person says, it's up to God. Let him do what he will. That's what you want to look for. But third, you want to look for someone who has a caring heart. And by that, I really mean just someone who cares for you. You can tell that, right? When someone's genuine with respect to their care for you, and they're not just faking it, you know, they're not just doing it because someone told them to. They really genuinely care for you. Look for that kind of a person. Even if you can't figure out anything else about them that would indicate that they are wise or discerning or could help you hear the voice of God, you know, I suppose I might say this is even the most important one. Someone who genuinely cares, because I believe if someone really cares for other people, God is going to speak through them. And then finally, and again we see this in the story of Samuel and Eli, look for someone who's willing to say what you need to hear instead of what you want to hear. You know, Samuel didn't want to give this message. We're kind of turning now to Samuel. Samuel didn't want to give this message to Eli because it was so negative. But when Eli asked, what did he do? He told them. He didn't hold anything back. And there are times when we need to be told something that we don't want to hear. Do you have a person in your life who will say those things to you? Who will tell you, even though you don't want to hear it, what it is that you need to hear? That's the kind of person that you need to be around. That's the kind of person that can help you hear the voice of God. And then finally, in addition to being in the right place and being around the right people, we also need to have this kind of right attitude. You know, you see Samuel. The first two times, Samuel doesn't know that this is the voice of God, but what's his response? I mean, we're kind of led to believe here in this story. This is the middle of the night, you know? Samuel's probably asleep. Now, when was the last time, I don't know, parents, you know, your child came in and woke you up? Or, you know, husbands and wives, your wife shakes you and says, "Hey, did you hear that noise?" What's our tendency when that happens? Go back to sleep, right? But look at what Samuel did. "Speak, for I'm listening." He was immediately ready to respond. And then when Eli tells him, "If it happens again, it's probably God." And Samuel, when it happens again, says, "Speak, I'm listening." Is that the kind of attitude that you have? Ready, responsive to God when he does speak to you? And, you know, I think so often, and I know I've been guilty of this myself, you know, I say, I want to hear from God, but the reality is I just want someone to confirm that it's okay for me to do what I want to do, rather than to genuinely be open to hear and to hear from God saying that maybe what I want to do is not what God wants me to do. Is that the kind of attitude that you have? I love this phrase. This is from the first half of Psalm 18:44. "As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me." I wish that could be said of me. As soon as I hear a word from God, I obey. Is that something that can be said of you? I think most of us would have to say, well, not all of the time, unfortunately. Maybe we all need to get a little bit better at being like Samuel and responding when we hear. You know, I think perhaps sometimes we use this idea of being unable to hear from God really as an excuse for being unwilling to do what God says. Did you get that? Sometimes we use the excuse of being unable to hear from God as an excuse for being unwilling to do what God says. You know, you don't need to hear from God to serve your neighbors. You don't need to hear a word from God to use the resources that he's blessed you with to help those who are less fortunate. You don't need to hear from God to love and honor and respect your spouse. You just need to do it, right? So I want to just kind of end with that reminder to all of us. Let's not use this whole subject of hearing from God as an excuse for not doing what we know we should be doing. Yeah, it's important to get in the right place and to get around the right people and to listen for that still small voice. But most of the time, it's most important just to get out there and do what we know God wants us to do, right? And as we do that, God will be faithful to speak to us when we need to hear from him. As we're engaged in the act of serving others, ministering as God calls us to, we will hear from God as we need to. You can trust that. All right? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are certainly grateful that you come to us in this place on this day every week, and you meet with us, and you, through your word, as we pray it, as we sing it, as we listen to it, and as we preach it, we know that you are speaking to us. And I pray that each one of us here this morning would hear from you. I know that probably most of us have come to this place with concerns, with struggles that we face this week, and probably many of us have said, I just need a word from God. I pray that each one of us here would hear that word this morning. Pray that you would speak to us as we need to hear it. But I pray as well that you would help each one of us simply be obedient to the things that we already know that you've called us to. The simple daily tasks of serving those around us, of caring for those who are in our neighborhood, who are in our household, of taking care of those who have less than us. Lord, help us to be faithful to do the things that we know we should do. And then help us trust you to speak to us as we need to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.